Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're up to module 6. Drum roll, please. And why the drum roll, you ask? Because this is the module in where all of our studies from the past 5 modules begin to meld into our feng shui practice. You've reached the turning point from the acquisition of all the knowledge in the past modules into the actual application of the feng shui principles. This is a magic time, so it deserves a drum roll. So up until now, we've had theories, philosophies, and concepts, but in this module, it all congeals. We learn the framework in this lesson, and then we begin to apply everything that we have learned. From this point on, it becomes practical application. Now, some of the information that you have learned in the past sessions will come easily to you. And if it doesn't, don't worry about that. All that means is that you need a little review. So take it. Never panic. Never get upset. I remember when I was learning feng shui that my mind felt like it was swirling around in circles with way too much information, and I felt, oh, I'll never be able to put all this to use. And then I was reminded to breathe and to allow all the information to settle down and naturally be sifted through into the one process. And what happens is that when we learn something, we really retain about 30%. So there will need to be some repetitions or exposure to that information before it's really ready for you to use full time. I wanted to rush the process back then and understand everything now. I was impatient, but that's not how feng shui works. It's an organic process, and much like the lotus, it opens one petal at a time. So I remind you at this juncture to breathe and to go at your own pace. It will all come to you in perfect time. In this next lesson, we concentrate on the Bagua chart and how we apply those 9 magic squares to our homes and spaces. The first thing we want to do is apply it to our own place, and then we can begin to understand how we can help others and apply it to theirs. There are some basics, there are some rules, and we're going to go over them in this module one at a time. So let's begin with the sketch of your home. If it is just one story, we sketch the layout, and it doesn't have to be exactly drawn to scale. So don't panic about that. You don't have to be an architect. You just have to render a good representation of how the rooms flow one into the other and how they are in relationship to each other. So take a look at this simple hand-drawn sketch. You'll see that it just easily outlines the rooms and how they are in relationship to each other, which one is adjacent to the other. The artist here, or the composer of this drawing, has put a piano in there, little sofas and matching chairs and a dining room table. You don't have to do that, but it's a good idea if you just want to do that as well. Again, simple, easy, and not exactly to scale, but to scale in terms of relationship one room to the other. And it doesn't have to be professional, but it does need to represent the layout and the floor plan of your home, office, or space. I like to make it easy by sketching it on an 8.5 by 11 piece of graph paper. It helps me keep my lines straight, and it kind of helps me keep things in relation to each other. Step 1. I'd like you to take a small sojourn here away from the course and look at WikiHow, how to draw blueprints for a house. You'll see that there's a link there that you can use, and just take a look at what they offer. It's a very, very simple, easy, free program. It gives you a little help and direction with sketching your home and floor plan, office or apartment. It kind of takes the scariness out of just drafting a little simple sketch. So once you have completed your drawing on your 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, then you're ready to go to step 2. There are many apps that will help you do this if you want to have a much more professional look. And if you want to learn a new app, that's fine with me. Look at the link that I've given you, and it lists 7 best apps for room design and layout. You can take your choice. Some cost money, some don't, some are licensing fees, but you can figure that out for yourself and for your practice. Okay, now step 2, once you've done your lovely little drawing and you're no longer intimidated by that task, the next thing you want to do is locate the mouth of the chi for your space. The Bagua chart always begins at the front door. This is the mouth of the chi. Now, the front door might fall into any one of the 3 bottom guas. The upcoming examples will demonstrate that for you. I like to take a piece of acetate, or really simply a clear page cover, and use it to draw the Bagua chart over my sketch. Now, you can also make copies of your drawing and make several, because when you're learning this, you're probably going to make a few beginner errors. But when I have a client and I want to leave something behind or I want to show them something, I usually ask them to draw the initial sketch for me, and then I'll improve it or fix it up, or some of them do a really good job. But I like to slip it in that little plastic so that I can then draw over that in felt tip marker. I've given you a link for you to be able to get those envelopes, those little page protectors, if you will. Also, I like to have a few of the Sharpie markers on hand. I like to use those along with my T-square ruler, which helps me keep my line straight. You have a little bit of math to do when you want to balance the size of the Bagua over the actual drawing, but you'll get used to that, and I can talk you through a lot of that. The T-square ruler costs you all of $1.50 if you use the Walmart link that I've listed here, but you can get fancier if you want to. It's all up to you. Now, below is a sample of how the floor plan looks when it's placed in the sheet protector and the Bagua chart lines are drawn over it. And you'll find that you're going to have to go slow and let the ink dry so it doesn't smear, all of those things, but that comes with practice. So here are some thoughts right now that you might have racing through your mind. What if the shape of the house or the space that you've drawn isn't square? What if it doesn't fit the Bagua? What do you do? Okay, this happens more often than not. The shape of the space isn't usually ever a perfect square. It's a rectangle, or it's even a circle, or it's got little alcoves that stick out. All right, we're going to go through that. Your job is to fit that Bagua chart over the space, over the drawing, and make the square anyway. Some people squish the Bagua down to fit the space. That is wrong, 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 wrong. You need to place the Bagua over the drawing, and then we will extend the lines. So just know that the Bagua chart is the main guy here. And we put that 9 square square over the floor plan, no matter what shape the floor plan is. We will extend the lines of the Bagua beyond the floor plan, and later on we will energetically create those extended lines. That's right, energetically. We're going to use energetic lines, if you will, to extend that Bagua, and I'll tell you how that works in a second. Why is that? Because we must end up with a fully functioning square Bagua chart, even if some of the lines are invisible. This is the beauty of working with chi energies. If there is not a square form that falls perfectly within the Bagua chart, we'll fill in those lines. That's our job. That's how we respect the chi. The power of the Bagua chart uses both the physical house plus the extended invisible boundaries. Okay, the energy is the chi energy that fits in the square. We overlay that, and if it doesn't fit the drawing, then we make the Bagua chart work over the drawing anyhow. This is where imagination comes in. We use visible energy. We use visible energy as well as invisible energetic lines to create the force field of the Bagua chart. The Bagua chart is in and of itself a force field of energy, of chi energy that's been created to surround a given house or a space. The Bagua chart always begins at the mouth of the chi or the front door. This is where the chi enters the house. Whether or not you use the back door or a side door or come in through the garage, we honor the original front door as how the chi enters the house, and that's important. Certainly, energy enters the house and the chi through the back door or whatever we use that's convenient, but still, the sacred energy enters from the front door. If you look at the example, you'll see that the line at the bottom does not include the porch as part of the house. Unless the porch is structurally attached to the house, i.e. built as part of the foundation, formed with the concrete foundation, if it is, then we'll shift the Bagua chart down to accommodate that. So take a look at the next example. You see that I've drawn the Bagua chart over the same existing floor plan, only I have extended it at the bottom to include the porch. Now we're going to assume that the porch and the concrete, it was all formed at the same time, and so it is attached to the house. If the porch was built separately, or the stairs are wooden, or it's not attached to the foundation, you would use the Bagua chart from the previous example. So it's the same floor plan, okay, but it's been revised so that the house structure includes the porch. That means that there are invisible lines at each corner forming the bottom of two important guas. These dotted lines show you how we need to extend the invisible energy of the Bagua chart, even though there is no structure there. We will discuss how we accommodate that and how we anchor those energetic lines and guas in just a moment. But just keep in mind that we create that Bagua, that energetic Bagua field, over the structure. Now, let's go over the rules for overlaying the Bagua chart. Number one, we know that the Bagua chart is always a square. All sides are equal. Now, how do we determine that? Number two, the size of the Bagua chart is determined by the longest line or wall of a house or a space. You will adjust your measurements and gua allocation to this longest wall measurement. Number three, you can place the Bagua chart as an overlay to anything, to a house, to a desk, to a neighborhood, to a state, a country, the globe, and even the galaxy. The Bagua chart is unlimited, so you can Bagua chart anything in this world. I've even feng shuied someone's car and overlaid the Bagua chart on their car. It is limitless in possibility. Number four, you must create a square for all nine guas, no matter if the house or the space is a rectangle, a triangle, or a circle. It could even be a train car, but you must lay the entire square Bagua chart over the plan. Five, keep in mind that you only consider parts of the house that are solidly part of the foundation. An awning, for example, if it's overhanging, would not be part of the core structure of the house. A porch that has been added on would not be part of the core structure. You may have to see the house or take a tour of the house, either in person or on video, before making a final designation as to what is connected and what is not. 6. Each square is equal in size. You will need to adjust your ruler and spacing and measurements to fit this plan so that all your squares are pretty equal. Now, they don't have to be within an eighth of an inch of each other, but they have to be equal in shape, form, content, and most importantly, energy. You can always size your drawing to make it fit on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. It's just easier to handle a piece of paper this size. It fits in a fax, it fits in a notebook, it's just more convenient. You can always reduce things to an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And again, I like to use graph paper as often as I can. Now, once you have established how the floor plan fits under the Bagua grid, you can begin to add the 5 element balancers and the yin-yang polarities of the elements into the individual guas to begin to achieve balance and harmony. I'd like you to take a look at this short video, and maybe it'll bring a lot of this home for you. Now that you've had a chance to look at the video, I'd like to introduce you to the application of the feng shui principles. Take a tour of your house room by room and check to see which gua falls into it. Now, of course, you're going to have to overlay the Bagua chart and know how this fits. So you may want to review this and take a look at the pictures and the examples in order to do that. But once you have overlaid that, take it with you and take a tour room by room and check to see which gua falls into which parts of your home. Start with the mouth of the chi. Come in the front door. See what that gua is, and then you'll be able to go gua to gua and notice a few things. I've given you a handout that will help you. You're going to have to print out however many rooms you have. You're going to have to print out 5 sheets for each room. I know this sounds excessive, but we're on a learning curve here. I want you to become familiar with how you do this. These handouts will help you focus on what's in the room and what elements you have present or which elements you don't have. So they're kind of like a handy checklist. This will take some time, so don't plan on doing this in an evening. You're going to do this over a several day period, hopefully, and let it soak in little by little. Again, take your time. You're learning this, and some of this may seem overwhelming, but not if you do it a step at a time and little by little. Again, all 5 handouts for each room, because you are checking for the presence of all 5 elements individually in each room. You've got to look at color, you've got to look at shape, you've got to look at texture, you've got to look at art and icons. So it's going to take you some time to become used to that. And for each room, you will have 5 sheets that you will have made notes on. And at that point, you will know whether your room is balanced or not and what you need to add. Move carefully room by room and take good notes. Make sure that you notate the presence of each element for each gua. By the end of the sojourn through your house, you will know not only what's in your home, but you'll know the 5 elements much better. They'll be intimate friends of yours. And you will also have the keys as to what the energy flow is in your house and what you can do in each room to increase that and to expedite the process of balance and harmony right in your own home. Here's a few questions that might be running through your mind as you do this process. You might ask, what do I do if the Bagua chart falls outside the structure of my home? Okay, we're working again with the invisible fields and the energy of the Bagua chart. You anchor those edges and create the energetic lines of the square Bagua chart. Take a look at the example that I have provided below. You see the green asterisks at the corners and the edges of the Bagua chart. Those are the places that we anchor because that's the line that extends. The dotted lines represent the energetic field that we create. The solid lines represent what is solidly there. Our job is to form the full 9-square pattern in order to be able to harmonize and balance the energies of the Bagua chart. If you shortchange it, you're not going to have a full gua. So part of your Bagua chart and part of your life is not going to work smoothly unless you anchor that energetic field outside of your physical house or your physical space. You might ask, what happens if the Bagua chart extends into my neighbor's property? Well, yes, and I've had that happen too. So you need to talk to your neighbor and say, hi, would you mind if I planted a crystal or if I planted a penny or if I put a plant or a pole? It depends on what your relationship is with your neighbor. And I had to extend a house I had in Southern California that way. So I had 2 points in each of my neighbor's yards. And I don't know what they thought about me secretly, but they were very pleasant. They allowed me to put a crystal or, you know, an icon there so that I could extend the energetic field of my Bagua. And that house worked beautifully for me. It had a great flow, a perfect energy, and it was a place in which I thrived. So I think part of that was because my neighbors were generous and allowed me to extend the Bagua to their points. The piece of land, by the way, was kind of pie-shaped. So, of course, I had 2 edges that stuck out into my neighbor's areas. Now, if you find that your neighbors think you're a little bit wacky, just try to explain to them what you're doing and what it matters. You might even want to volunteer to feng shui their house for them, too. And if they have anchor points in your yard, well, you can return the favor. It's all about reciprocation in feng shui. So again, to recap, you're going to want to anchor these edges and points. And you can anchor these points and corners with coins, with crystals, with stones, with posts, with trees, plants, sculptures, poles, flags. You could even just use a mark of paint on the cement. Anything that designates the space and says, okay, this is where the energetic lines end or intersect. You get to be really creative. I've had clients that have used poles and flags on their second story to designate the space as it reached out into the world. So you can just be as creative as you want to, but that icon or that representation, that anchor, should stay there on a permanent basis. So then you would ask, probably, does it have to be visible? And the answer is no. It can be marked with something that is visible or invisible. You could place it under the mat, for example. You could place it in the grass. It could be in the garden, under the soil. It could be under a piece of furniture. It doesn't matter as long as you do something and you create the designation of those energetic lines. And what if you have an unfriendly neighbor? Well, it's a good chance to make friends. It's good feng shui. And if your neighbor thinks you're nuts, then just use your talents as a harmonizer. Make it easy for them to understand the process. You could offer to, like I mentioned before, to feng shui their house. And if all else fails, just bless them, wish them well, because intention is oftentimes more powerful than the deed itself. And how do you know that you're doing the right thing and you're doing it the correct way? Well, you're studying this course. You can always review, go back, and ask questions. That's what we're here for. We're here for clarification. And just remember that when we're dealing with these energetic points, we're dealing with something that is alive. The Bagua chart is alive. It breathes, just like houses breathe. There is nowhere to hide in feng shui practice. Everything counts. It's all energy. And our job is to graciously make the space for the new energy to come in and to repurpose the old and let it leave. It's all about change and flux and energy. And so for your homework, if you aren't overwhelmed, then go ahead and read pages 85 through 89 in Feng Shui the Easy Way. Number two, download handout number one. It's blank. It's a blank Bagua chart, and I'd like you to please fill in the names of the guas on this handout. Try to do this from memory. If you need to go back and take a reference, go ahead. You might want to make a couple of copies of this and take a couple of shots at this, but it would be great if you could do it from memory, because then it's going to really solidify quicker for you. Number three, download handouts 2, 3, and 4. Draw and overlay the Bagua chart over these sample structures and label each gua. You will need to hand these in. You can fax, email, or scan them and send them to me. Number four, download handout number 5. These are the 5 elements on each page, and you will walk through each room and each gua, making notes of the 5 elements, whether they're present or not. Now, don't hand these in. These are for your reference. But do use them and do print out as many copies as I suggested. Number 5, you will have to write a report or a synopsis of each room based on what you filled out in homework assignment number 4. So whatever you write on those 5 pages, I'd like a summary, please, of what you found in each room. I'd like you to tell me what you might have too much of in an element and what remedy you might suggest to offset that. And I'd like you to tell me what you don't have any of and what remedy you might suggest to fill that in. If this is feeling a little bit too advanced, that's okay. We're taking this one step at a time. I just want you to give it a try and see how you do. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, but you will find out that this is how the information begins to sift down into you, and you probably do know a lot more than you think you know at this point. You're also going to want to take the test for this module and turn that in. In our next module, we will discuss the energy of your neighborhood, how that contributes to the chi and the flow of your house. We will analyze and suggest remedies for yin-yang if they're out of proportion. We will talk about the power and the vibration of color and how we can use color to remedy the balance in the guas for the home, the environment, for our family, and our life. We have a lot more to learn, and it's all very exciting. Take as much time as you need. You will begin to really feel the fruits of all your studies in this module, and we will go on to add more layers and more fun as you continue on this course to be a feng shui practitioner. Good luck. Thanks so much for hanging in, and let me know how I can help you learn this so that you can be out on your own and doing wonderful work in the world. Thank you so much.